Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and I'm very happy to be here. As it has always been the case, this is Business and Economic Segment. This is a platform that we talk about business. It's a platform that we talk about economic matters. It's a platform that we talk about the issues of governance. It's a platform that we bring about those real debates about what is happening in the Namibian economy, what is happening in terms of political communication, what is happening in terms of national planning. And indeed, we are trying to link, the relationship between those who are planning and also those who are implementing. And this is Business and Economic Segment. It's the 7th of the 8th month, 2025. It's the 7th of August, 2025. And we are moving toward the end of the year. We are moving toward the end of the year. There is around 3 months before we come to the conclusion of 2025. And it's always very important also as a human being, as an institution, to do a critical self-assessment to say, where have I been for the past 8 months, what have I done right, what have I done wrong, and what are some of the things that we need to do in order to make sure that at least we add fuel to our personal strategy, our professional strategy, and indeed our national strategy. What can we do better, and also what are some of the things that we need to improve? Yes, and for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is where we have real discussions. This is where we have real discussion about economics, real discussion about business, real discussion about development. And indeed, this is where we have to unpack what is not what need to be unpacked, and this is where we bring about those real conversation, because the aim of us having this conversation at Business and Economic Segment is for us to make sure that we bring about changes and different in terms of thinking, and also in terms of practical application of developmental ideas. Now, we are saying as long as Namibia is where it is now, particularly in terms of development, in terms of economic ranking, we are indicating to you that we'll continue to have this conversation.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
We'll continue to discuss about these issues, and indeed we'll try to make sure that we bring about experts' views, we bring about the views of ordinary people, and we look at things that matters, because we are saying development in general couldn't be accomplished without incorporating all the sectors of development, such as the main one, which is economic development in terms of economic growth. The second one, which is infrastructure. And the most importantly also is human development, where human beings have ability, or they are participating in the economy of the country, have access to natural resources, have access to economic resources, and also participate in governance, economics, and they have a secured future. And looking at inequality, particularly in terms of economic inequality, you'll be able to realize that Namibia is one of the country which have highest rate of economic inequality, which in this context you have few millionaires in Namibia, and a lot of people who are struggling to make the end meet, that's why for the past 35 years we are trying to find ways, we are trying to find mechanisms on how to, to balance, particularly in terms of equality. And we are trying to find ways on how we can assist, particularly in terms of economic system, in terms of allowing those who have been previously disadvantaged to become part of the mainstream economy, which has been very difficult, actually, although there have been policies of affirmative action, although there have been issues such as social grants. Namibians, majority of Namibians are still struggling to make the end meet. They are still living in poverty. And if I have to tell you that we are the highest, economic unequal country, second in the world, following South Africa, and we are the country with low population of just 3 million, but we have highest unemployment rate, and we are spending much on energy. We are spending much on subsidizing, and the other time we ask, what is the cost of subsidization? What is sustainability of subsidization? Do we have a sustainable way of continue subsidizing things that we cannot afford on ourselves? Now, as I indicated earlier on, after every topic that we bring about, particularly regarding to the main conversation, we always welcome constructive criticism. We always welcome views. We always making sure that, for us to bring about this conversation, we need all the perspectives. It could be that you are an individual who have, ways of doing things. It could be that you are an individual who have experience on how to deal with things. It could be that you are an individual who understand the matter better. It could be that you are the author of more than 2 books about the topic that we are discussing about. It could be that you have experience in that area that we're discussing about. It could be that you are a researcher in that topic. That's why we are indicating to you that after every conversation that we bring about, we always make sure that, we bring you on board, and we allow you to contribute a your view, a your opinion, and also contribute to the conversation. Yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, like we're always doing, it's always very crucial to make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, on X, on Instagram, and on LinkedIn, because if you follow us, you will be able to be updated when it's coming to economic matters, when it's coming to governance issues, when it's coming to issues of bread and butter. That's why we are always indicating to you that follow us in our social media platform. Follow us in our social media platform so that those who follow you will also be able to follow us. Then they will be able to be updated, particularly what is happening around the world, what's happening in the continent Africa, what is happening in Namibia, in your region, and indeed, what is happening in your constituency. So that's why we are always indicating to you that follow us, because we'll update you. The other thing is also that we have the Villager newspaper. We have e-paper. Get access to the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can access that e-paper by subscribing to it, like our page on all our social media platform, like the Villager newspaper page, and download through that link that is always shared every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we are always indicating to you that if you are a researcher, if you are an economist, if you are a policy analyst, if you are a governance analyst, or you are a student of science, economics, and all the developmental activity, all the developmental courses, if you are a policy researcher, if you are economic mover, you are an SME developer, SME operator, SME, advisor, student of entrepreneurship, make sure that you get access to the Villager newspaper, because that is the only way. That's the only way that you'll be able to have access to economic intelligence. You will have access to economic insight, and indeed you are going to have access to those, global affairs issues of trade. That's why we are saying, if you want to be a good citizen, a good business person, a good researcher who understand economic matters, somebody who can make those long-term strategic economic decisions, you must be able to get access to the Villager newspaper. Download the Villager newspaper and make your life more easier. Interestingly, you can also advertise through our e-paper. We have a coverage of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people who are following us in our social media platform. And what you can do, you can talk to our marketing team, so that you can have an opportunity to advertise your product so that you can have coverage, so that you can have, access all your customers around Namibia and also around the world, because it's an online platform and you make your life more easier. Then a good investment in advertisement is the best investment in your business. So talk to our marketing team and market with us, advertise with us through the Villager newspaper. And yeah, there are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, we are not able to be connected to you. What happened? What is wrong with the frequency, particularly at the northern side of Namibia and also part of the coast? We are indicating to you that in a situation that you are not able to be connected with us through the mainstream radio frequency, do not worry. Do not worry, because we got you. We got you to that extent that, we got you in the context that we are working together with the world of digitalization. We are working together with the world of advancement in terms of technology, robotics, and in terms of AI. But what we are indicating to you that the world is moving very fast. That's why we develop an app that is Eagle FM app. It's a Namibian app that you can access to. You can download it and install it into your phone, whether you have an Android phone, whether you have an iPhone. Just go to Play Store, download Eagle FM app, put it in your phone. When you just put it in your phone like that, the moment you put it in your phone, you'll be able to listen to the program on air. And interestingly, you can also listen to the previous program through podcast. So we're indicating to you that through that, wherever you are finding yourself, even if you are in Singapore, you are in Beijing, you are in Taipei, you are in New York, as long as you have internet access, you download that Eagle FM app. Whether you are studying in China or you are studying in Europe, you are studying in USA, and you have that Eagle FM app, you can listen to the programs on air and also the previous programs. And you can also follow us online. You can also follow us online, or you can listen to us online. Just press in Eagle FM Namibia, Google Eagle FM Namibia, then you press home. Automatically, you listen to the programs on air. And last but not least, we have Imba app. Imba app is a digital smart way of accessing a hymn book. Digital and smart way of accessing the hymn book. And you can only access the hymn book if in a situation that you do not have a hard copy hymn book, in the situation that you do not have a hard copy hymn book, or you forgot your hard copy hymn book at home or somewhere else, what you can do, just go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, download Imba app. When you download Imba app, you have access to your digital version of hymn book, whether it's in Oshiwambo, that is Ehangano, Oshierero, Maimburiro, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app and make your life more easier. When you download Imba app, you will make your life more easier. So, dear listeners, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we'll continue with the conversation for today. Stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. And yeah, today we are going to talk about collaborative developmental approach. What is the necessity of collaboration in development, particularly to technocrats, particularly to bureaucrats, and also appointed politicians. And we are going to focus and try to contextualize it to what is happening in Namibia. We are going to try and contextualize it to what's happening in Namibia, particularly when it's coming to regional development, and also cooperations between those who are appointed and also those who are professionals, because the recent event which happened in Namibian politics is something that is also let us asking ourselves questions to say, is it us Namibians who are self-sabotaging? Is it us Namibia who are self-sabotaging because of political affiliation? Or is it us Namibia who are self-sabotaging because we don't want to see somebody being at the forefront of that development? Because this conversation today of collaborative development is motivated by the situation that we are now as a country. It's also motivated by the situation that we are as a country in terms of planning, in terms of the leadership, and also in terms of what the country need now. Because if we speak about, if we really want to achieve, for example, Vision 2030, which people have a lot of doubts about it, if you really want to implement even 60% of NDP 6, let us be realistic. We cannot do that if people do not understand the vision. That is number one. And number two is that we cannot do that if people are self-sabotaging. You know, what happened in Oshana region, especially when the new governor started to have this high-level engagement with stakeholders, it's a bit disappointing. It's not only disappointing, it's actually telling a lot. It's actually telling a lot, especially to us Namibians to see, and it's telling us a lot to see where we are as a country and what is the view of people. What is the view of people? You start to see that majority of councillors and also chief executive officers and mayors, they did not show up when the young governor is given an opportunity to engage with them. Just the first point of departure. And this one is telling you a lot. If you are a person who is thinking very well, you want to see that there is a message which is being given there. There is a message which is being given there, either a message of disapproval or a message of not trusting. Now, where is this thing coming from? The question that you need to ask yourself, where is this thing coming from? And how are we going to develop if those who are supposed to develop us are already in fight? Because I want you to listen to this clip where Hofni Ipinge, the governor of Oshana region, showing that he is disappointed by what have happened, particularly when he was speaking to his people. He's appointed by the appointing authority to lead Oshana region. And the directive of a president by the constitution, whether we like it or not, whoever is being put there has to lead you, whether you have different motives or not. But what we have seen is that, I don't want to call it sabotaging, people showing selectiveness in terms of who they want to work with. And what is this has to say, especially to the people who are on the ground? So this is one of the things that we need to look at. And I want you to listen to this short clip. I want you to listen to this short clip.
Because these voters are not coming to attend meetings, councillors, we have seen what is happening in this region. So we need to fix this region for the best interest of our people. We cannot move on like this. So if there is a meeting of this nature, everybody is supposed to come or be represented.
Yes, that was some of the words of the governor of Oshana region, especially when he was supposed to, or he gave his speech, especially at stakeholders engagement, where you have to engage with leaders within your region, whether it's mayors of towns, councillors, local authority councillors, and it was indicated that they did not even, some of them, they did not even send their representative or give their apology to say, we are not coming. And the question that we are asking ourselves today is that, could it be the reason that we are not moving forward as a country is that we lack cooperation? Could it be the reason that we are not moving forward as a country, we lack, collaboration? Either because of political views, either because of different views about certain, either depend of different economic philosophies or different perception or age or many other things. Because one thing that you need to look at is that, you know, whether we like some people or we don't like some people, because naturally as a human being, not liking a person cannot necessarily be associated to not working with a person, because you can hate a person, but because you're a human being. But if you are being professional enough, then you have to come on board and work with this person, because that is what the appointing authority have put on the chair. And I think it's also something that we need to look at, especially when you want to collaborate with young people. And I've been always telling people to say, me, I don't have a problem with any young person from any political party. If you are put out there, We have to defend the interests of young people, and we also have to defend the interests of national development. But if you are looking at what's happening in Oshana region, then you see head of towns and also executives within various towns not willing to attend meetings. Okay, if somebody, okay, let me say somebody was not feeling well, why can't you send somebody to represent you? Why can't you send somebody to represent you? And this is something that we really need to look into. Because if you look at the collapse of SOEs in Namibia, if you look at the collapse of SOEs in Namibia, some of them, they collapse because elephants are fighting. When the elephants are fighting, is a grass which is suffering. When the elephants are fighting, is a grass which is suffering. Now, how are we going to fix a situation like what's happening in Oshana? How are we going to see real development if you cannot even come up with a regional direction, a regional plan? Because they send a young man there with the hope that he's going to give hope to young people and also to work with those who are experienced. And maybe the other thing that we also need to look at, because this is a very interesting case study, particularly student of governance. It's a very interesting case study because let us also look at the transformation or heading over of power. How was the orientation? How did the new governor approach the old guards, for example, people who have been there for a very long time? How was the orientation? And also, how was he accommodated in that area? Because whether we have personal fight or not, whoever is going to suffer there is not the governor. The governor is, for your own understanding, the governor is an employee of the government. He's getting paid like you, he's an employee of government, and he has a directive from the president. And politically, a governor is serving, is a representative of the president. That is what you need to know. He's not elected by the people, but he's a representative of the president. Whether you have a governor that you do not like, or you have a governor that you are not working together with, he's going to be paid his salary for the next 5 years. Then at the end of the day, who is going to suffer? These are the people that you guys are serving. The people that you guys are serving on the ground are the ones who are going to suffer. Because I think, to me, it's up to the people of of Oshana to also question their leaders. Whether it's up to also political parties, different political parties within Oshana, to also question their leaders, to say, why are you guys not showing up? What could be the reason? Is it a political tactic, or is it a plain thing? Because believe me, you, the issues that we are discussing about, you know, if you are not, if you did not suffer because of poverty, you will not understand these things. If you were not born post colonial Namibia, what is called the born free, you will not understand this, the pain that young people are going through, especially those who are at the village. But if somebody stood up and say, let us see where that Irimari left, let me take it this way. And in an institution, in leadership, you don't need to like a person. That is number one. Being professional, I don't need to like you, but I'm being professional. I don't need to like me, but we have to work together because that is the best that you got. Now, how are we going to develop Oshana region if there is already a fragmentation at the start? Because these are the things that we need to talk about, especially self-sabotaging. Because to those who are sabotaging our future and the future of our kids, you may think you are showing that person that you do not like, you are showing him a lesson, but you don't know who you are putting down. You have kids in that region, but you don't want to work together with somebody who just came. Whether it's for a political reason, that one, I don't know. But, I mean, where are we going as Namibians? Because this thing of, it's not only happening in Oshana, we have seen it that even in organizations, even in when you look at SOEs, you can find somebody with really brilliant ideas, but because of this, you don't know for what reason, political game which is being played, this person is a bit sidelined. But as Namibians, we must stand up for these things. We must say no to things which are not in line with corporate good corporate governance. Because if the African governance report of 2025 is already telling us that one of the things that African states are not doing well is a coordination between their governance structure. It's a coordination and also mismanagement of natural resources. If we cannot coordinate at the regional level, how are we going to develop Namibia? And I'm feeling very sorry to people of Oshana because it will take you maybe another 10 years to be where other regions are. Looking at what happened in Anguena, I think it's a bit accommodative. It's a bit understandable. People have already taken off. But with the governor of Oshana, what they did to him, I think is something that we really need to look at, because development cannot be driven by one person. And if you are not being professional enough, we are going to sabotage the future of our kids and the future of the generation to come. Because if you are not showing up at the first meeting, all of you, I think there is a really big reason for that. And I just wish maybe the president or maybe the minister of urban, let us look at that Local Authority Act of 1992 and see, is there any way to hold people accountable, particularly who at that level? Because for the past 35 years, if this is what has been happening, a lot of lives have been put in the dustbin just because of the fights of people who are already secure at the top. So this is really something that we need to work on. Is it a political sabotage? Or is it just people who missed, or they were all sick at the same time, or they were just have something of equal importance? And is this only happening in Oshana, or is it also happening in other regions? What need to be done? What are the next steps which need to be done? Because it's very difficult, especially, and I'm feeling very pity for somebody who just came into the position and is not welcomed. What are some of the things that need to be done? What are some of the things that really need to be done? Is it a party thing? Or because there's a lot of questions there. There's a lot of questions, and I just wish those who did not show up will come and give their reasons. Those who did not show up will come and give their reason to say, why you guys did not attend the meeting? What happened? Were you not informed? Is it a matter of communication? Or is it just a matter of not showing up? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are unpacking the area of collaborative development. We are unpacking the area of collaborative development. We are using the case study of what happened in Oshana, especially when majority of local authority councillors and also mayors of towns did not show up at the high level meeting, the first high level meeting that the new governor who is appointed by the president has to talk with his people and give direction, particularly to what need to be done when it's coming to development. So you can air your view, you can air your opinion, and give your input. For those of you who are coming on the, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, we are unpacking the power of collaborative development, and we are referencing the issue of Oshana region, particularly to what happened. It's a very disappointing thing, and just put yourself in the shoes of somebody who was appointed and willing to work together with people, and that is exactly what happened. Now, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, I want you just to listen one more time, especially when the new governor was talking regarding what have happened at Oshana.
We're supposed to be part of this house in the Arabia. And that's why maybe most of the things are not moving in Oshana, because the voters are not coming to attend meetings. Councillors, you see what is happening in this region. So we need to fix this region for the best interest of our people. We cannot move on like this. So if there is a meeting of this nature everybody is supposed to come or be represented. You cannot be a local authority councillors. We have a lot of them, seven in each of the Odamba, Oshakati, and Obediva. There are seven, including the oppositions. There are seven. None of them are here. They aren't represented. Plus, they are CEOs. Well, either they are deputy mayors, and their mayors are not here. So apparently now we want to develop this region. People have been voted to save the people. People are not coming to the meetings. Now you can see yourself. I'm really disappointed, and I want this message to go. If they don't want to work, let those who want to work please be voted and start attending meetings. We are not here to joke with the life of the people. We are here to work. Please pass the message.
We have the vote now.
Please pass the message. The governor said they are not here to play. And I also just want maybe head of political parties to speak about this, to say what really happened. Is it you guys who gave the directive that they must not attend, or they just choose on themselves? I know it's not a crime not to attend, but it's unprofessional. It's unprofessional, especially when it's coming to a high-level engagement with the region. Because you not attending because of your personal reason may look like something which is good, but what about the future of those who depend on you? Why can't you even delegate somebody? Even sending your deputy, even a PA, send even a PA, because that is a high level of disrespect, and it's really something that we need to relook at. Because maybe the people are looking at there is only a few months before they are elected or before they leave offices. But you need to set a tone. You need to set a tone, and you also need to make sure that even if your term is coming to an end, you must think about others who are going to come and take over from you. You must give a very clear succession plan, even an orientation to those who is coming in the office. And I've seen, especially what the former governor did, especially that the area Irimari, when he has to hand over, and he was so professional enough to hand over, and I also hope and I also think that he also gave a direction to say this is where I end, this is where.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
He also gave a direction to say this is where I end, this is where you have to take on, chief. But fighting for saying young people must be given position, when young people are given position, then we start bring unnecessary things on the ground. I think we really need to relook at those things, especially our elders, our parents. You said you want young people to be given. Then you were given one young person, then you have all the question marks. No, this person is not good and what. And believe me, we are not going to move forward. We are not going to move forward, especially if we are looking at what have happened. It's not only happening in Oshana. We have seen there was a situation of CEOs punching each other in that side of Grootfontein. Those CS people are fighting in the boardroom there. But who are suffering? It's not them. These guys are getting their salaries. They are getting their money. If you are a CEO, you are getting 100,000, more than that per month. If you are an executive, you are getting more than that amount of money. But when it's coming to people on the ground, when it's coming to service delivery, there is little to nothing which is happening. That's why today we are indicating to you that let us look at the power of collaboration. Let us look at the vision that we are sharing, because they are saying in politics, in the street, and also in jail, there is power in collaboration than in confrontation, because it's always very important also to look at what are the commonalities, because as Namibians I know, and I know with all my heart to say, even people in, let me say you are in cabinet, people are coming from different views, I mean different backgrounds. You have economists, you have administrators, you have engineers, you have lawyers. And these guys, they don't need to like each other. It's not, they don't need to like each other, but there must be cordiality that is there. Because of you, we are colleagues, then you have a shared vision. You don't need to be friends. But if you have a shared vision to say, I'm a CEO in this town, and this town is in this region, I'm a mayor of this town, but because of collegiality, you have to, that colleagues' relations, you have to make sure that you work with these people, because there's always a commonality where we are meeting. There's always a ground where we are meeting. But if what happened in Oshana continue to happen again in different regions, people are starting to see, because it's always very difficult, and because it's always very difficult to, there is this thing in leadership to say, it's very difficult to feel in big shoes. It's very difficult. But every leader come with their own plan and strategy, and giving them a chance, just give a person, you don't need to like a person, give a person a chance, because that is Oshana that you are sabotaging. It's Oshana that you are sabotaging, because this person is continuing to be paid even if you work together with him or you don't work together with him. He's continuing to be paid. Then after 5 years, he's going to give a report of failure in Oshana. Then who suffered? Who suffered in that regard? It's the people who are on the ground. So I think it's also a lesson that we must pass, especially to the strong leadership, or I mean to the central leadership, to say, this is what is happening. And also to the political leadership, because political parties are very important in national development. Political parties are very important in national development, particularly those with influence, particularly those who deploy their cadres in local authorities and in regional council governance. They are very important. They are very important to that extent that political parties, they deploy. When they deploy, they also give direct to say, I deploy you so that you can represent my party. Even if you are the minority, make sure that your voice means something. Make sure that you contribute so that they can also get votes, or so that I don't betray people that voted me. And there is one thing, I think it's a perspective that people got. Because remember, if you're an opposition political party, then you get one councillor to represent you, let me say in the local authority or regional authority. That voice that is there is no more your political party, it's a governance structure of that constituency. It's a governance structure of that constituency, it's a governance structure of that local authority. Because whatever you do is, for example, on Dangwa region or Dangwa local authority, on Wediva local authority, and also Oshakati. That is where the problem is, because if you are going to personal things, I think as young people, especially speaking from the position of a young person, majority of us who are suffering, majority of us who expect those who are in power to make sure that they make sure that the environment is so conducive for me to do business, to make sure that opportunities are expanded. But these guys, they already started fighting. Instead of me going to have a meeting, I'm going to my friend's wedding. Or instead of me deploy even a PA. That is just an example to say deploy a PA, not even your deputy. Because there's a power in delegation to say, no, I'm representing the CEO of my town. But just to say, chief, not coming, nada, nothing, zero. No, it's an insult to our development. And it's also showing that, there's a lot need to be done. And with this attitude, I think, if not reluctant, I think NDP6 is going to be another dream. It's going to be another dream. And we have a lot to blame on ourselves. So, dear listeners, today we are speaking about the power of collaborative development. We are speaking about the power of collaborative development. We are looking at the case study of Oshana region. We are also looking at what really happened. Because there's a lot of question marks to say. What is the reason behind? And is it going to be, are the people who did what they did going to be held accountable, or is just a professional excuse? And what is the way forward moving on? What is the way forward moving on? And is there something that need to be done, especially in terms of giving enough power to governors? And I think it's also very important also to see how people view governors, because the structure of a standing governor and an elected MP, not MP, but elected councillor, there's a little bit of frictions which is happening there. There's a little bit of the act, the local authority act, which need to be a bit revised, particularly the power and function of a governor, the existence of a governor, how the governor is appointed, and also the relationship between a governor, the officials such as director, chief regional officer, and also the elected constituency councillors, and the leadership down to the towns. I think those are some of the things that I really need to be looked at, because if what happened is a governance issue, or is an issue of authority, because from how I look at things, it's very difficult also to hold local authority councillors accountable, especially if you are a governor, because it was just supposed to be done in terms of professionalism. Because they may tell you that I'm not accountable to you, I'm not elected by you, I'm representing my town, or I'm elected by the people here, I'm not attending to you. Who are you? But for the sake of professionalism, for the sake of our country, we need to understand that we are bigger than that. We need to understand that we are bigger than that, and we also need to understand that you being a CEO, you being a councillor, it's not you alone, it's the people that elected you. But when you are driving in your Benz and looking at what people are going through, what is coming into your mind? What is coming into your mind? And also, as citizens, it's also us to blame. It's also us to blame, especially when we are voting. Because I've been telling people this, to say, the voting pattern in any political system is used as a tool of analysis to see what will happen in the next 5 years, and what is the behaviors and the views of the voters. When politicians are telling us that we are the government, yes, we are the government, few hours before elections, then after that, we transfer power to those that we elect. Now, it's also us to blame, because the democratic system is also a bit unfair in terms of how you give power and also how those people are serving you. Because if you just have to be honest, some of you, we have been voting a councillor for the past 35 years. But when it's coming to accountability, you keep on complaining where you have power to discipline the councillor. You have power to discipline the councillor. You have power to put another one. You have also power to complain through those votings. Because the hands of our future, we put our trust in people that we think they can assist us. But people that are using different tactics and also strategies just to hate one another. So, dear listeners, today we are talking about the power of collaborative development, and we are asking critical questions, especially using what happened in Oshana as a case study of analysis, to say how is the future of Oshana regional development? How is the future of that? And the question also is that, is the governor has power to discipline those that he's leading? What is the act saying? Or is it just another conversation? And what is the role of stakeholders in regional development? And also, in terms of analyzing regional development, how can we foster collaborative development in not only in Oceania region, but in all the regions? Because it acquire or it require various stakeholders. It requires also different, people with different technical professionals, backgrounds, and it require people with different skills, to move, the region forward. Because putting a young person in that difficult predicament, I think, is going to define what will happen in the next 5 years in that region. And I just hope, maybe it's a serious issue that led to those who were supposed to attend that meeting or that engagement not to attend. Or there is a reason behind that that need to be solved immediately, or otherwise, the future of regional development, not only in Oceania but in any other region, that with people who operate like that, will be doomed. So, we are talking about the power of collaborative development. What need to be done in order to make sure that there is a good relationship between the governor, the regional councillors, and people under his or her region. Because in terms of the political structure, the governor is head of the region, and whoever is coming to the region, even if the president is coming to the region, he has to go through the office of the governor, because he's the head of the house. He's the head of the house, and that is the power and function of the governor, is to oversee regional development and also brief the president, because the governor is an eye and an ear of the president within that region. And because there's always a saying to say, who get married to your mother is your father. That is African proverbs, and you need to respect whoever have authority, whether it's white, black, pink, or yellow. You need to respect that person, because that is the only way that we are going to achieve national development priority. Because we are running out of time. We are really running out of time, because if you look at how it's happening, particularly at the national level, ministers are running up and down because we are running out of time. And we need to save our country, because where we are standing now is not the, it's not the time to play, because there is a lot to lose than gain in if we are not adhering to what is on the game plan. And if we are not adhering to what is on the game plan, and the too ambitious NDP-6 will be a dream if things like what happened in Oceania can continue with other regions. Because it's not, we don't have time to fight. Even at SOEs, we don't have time to fight in SOEs. We don't have time to fight in boardrooms. We don't have time to keep on investigating. We were supposed to move a long time ago. We do not have that luxury. And the Prime Minister always used to say, no, we don't have the luxury of time. No, we don't have the luxury of time. If people are saying that must be seen, that must not be seen when you are sabotaging a person. That must be seen when you are developing a country. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your contribution. And from now, from me, David Shombe, see you. See you tomorrow. Same time, same place. And bye-bye for now.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro mirandito mwa iwe yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma onarahita tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.